Well, the Lord's on the throne. The church said, amen. God is good. He's watching over us. Amen. Amen. We have our 18th message from the book of Proverbs. And because there's 35 verses in this 14th chapter, I'm going to split it in half. And today we have the fear of the Lord, part one. If you got the handout that comes in the bulletin, we come to the first words. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we are instructed to fear the Lord some 18 times, with three of those instances found in the 14th chapter. The fear of the Lord is a central theme in the book of wisdom and indeed in all of Scripture. The concept of the fear of the Lord is not exclusive to the Old Testament, but one that is maintained throughout the Scripture under the Old and New Covenants alike. Indeed, within the pages of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul spoke of knowing the fear of the Lord, and he exhorted us to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. In the Ephesian letter, the Apostle commanded us to always give thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and to be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. The Apostle Peter wrote that we are to honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear God. John the Beloved in the Revelation told the angel who instructed him to fear God and to give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. And then later in the 15th chapter, verses 3 and 4, he tells of the victorious saints singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Amen. Twice there we see that fear and worship are tied together. Then in the 19th chapter of the Revelation, he tells of a voice coming from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 5 records the Lord Jesus as he taught his disciples not to fear man who can kill the body, but to fear God who can kill and cast into hell. And he said this, yes, I tell you, fear him. In fact, as Romans 3:18 reveals, a telling mark of the unsaved is that they do not fear God. The 18th verse says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. So letter A, it is of great love for us that God by his Holy Spirit breathed these words upon Solomon, that he would write of wisdom in relationship to the fear of the Lord. Wisdom and the fear of God cannot be separated. So then it's no wonder that at the very beginning of the book, Solomon wrote, chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then in the 29th verse, he speaks of those who hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Immediately following in the second chapter, he wrote teaching that we should discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Letter B. While in this lost world, fear in any relationship is viewed negatively, let us remember that this world is lost and deceived. Indeed, in relationship to God, fear of him is the beginning of wisdom, and what follows this holy fear is an outpouring of his compounded blessings. So come, my sisters and brothers, and come, my mothers and fathers, and come, my daughters and sons, let us fear the Lord Almighty and acquire his wisdom. Indeed, he has granted us the precious jewels of wisdom, for here they are inscribed in this holy book. We don't have to guess about what his wisdom is. He tells us, amen? Let us appropriate what he has granted us through the study of his word today. Roman numeral 1, we are to fear the Lord, for this is wise and righteous. Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. As Solomon addressed his son, and through this, our Heavenly Father addresses us, this word of wisdom is given to young men that they should select their bride carefully. And of course, we apply it both ways. For a young lady, she should carefully select her groom. Amen? A wise man will choose a wise woman, and a fool will join himself to a fool. If you are a fool, I'm not really talking to anybody here. If you are a fool and someone proposes to you, do them a favor, spare them. Say no. And then spare yourself. For by virtue of them proposing to you, they prove themselves a fool. Look, if you join yourself to a sinner, all you've done is proven yourself a fool. But church, there is no reason for any of us to be so foolish. For we have here the wisdom of God. Be wise, fear him. You should carefully and with the greatest care in the fear of God select your spouse. Choose wisely. Above all things, above everything, choose godliness. Did you hear me? I just told you something worth infinite value. When choosing a spouse, above all things, choose godliness. The reason set before us is this: a wise woman will be a blessing to her house, while a foolish one will destroy it. And of course here, house refers not to a physical structure, but to the marriage and the family. Young men, what do you desire in marriage? What is most important? Now think about it. Don't think with your hormones, think with your brain. Think about it. What do you want? Do you want a home that is built up and maintained by a wise woman, or one that is under constant demolition by a fool of a woman? Do you want to spend your married years repairing relationships damaged by a foolish wife, or would you rather enjoy the years living in peace?
Yes.
Thank you. As a previous proverb taught, with presumption comes nothing but strife. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer harm. Beloved, a good man will leave a good spiritual inheritance to his children and his children's children. Now let me ask you, how is he going to leave such a good spiritual inheritance if he marries a fool who tears everything down? As we said last Lord's Day in regard to friendships, choose your friends carefully. Don't just let your friendships happen. Beloved, choose your spouse carefully. Oh my goodness, choose your spouse carefully. Don't just let your marriage relationship happen. As Ravi Zacharias said, you can make your own hell on earth by marrying the wrong person. Of course, you can make your own hell on earth by being the wrong person too. I tell you, when you walk the aisle and say, I do, you did. And that's recorded in the heavens. Again, be purposeful. Have a biblical plan when considering your spouse. Set the non-negotiables before your eyes. What do you mean, Pastor Tim? If you are a believer, then your spouse must be a believer. Fear the Lord. You must yoke yourself only to a believer, for you must marry in the Lord, or else, in failing to fear God, in the obedience of the Lord, you will have acted in foolishness, and you make yourself a companion of a fool, and you will suffer harm. You'll suffer great harm. Hear me. This is the word of the Lord. Fear God and live. So in considering a spouse, choose with godly care. We could go on and on and on. I mean, how many sermons are in this one verse? Guard your heart so you won't become emotionally attached before you really know the person. Did you hear that? That's wisdom. Guard your heart so you won't become emotionally attached before you really know the person. Some people are in love with the idea of being in love. So they just want to be in love. But beloved, that's kind of senseless. You need to choose your spouse. You need to choose whom you will vow to love. Amen? So girls, guard your heart. Guard your heart. It belongs to the Lord. Guard it. Amen? Guys, guard your hormones. Guard them. You belong to the Lord. Neither the heart nor the hormones have a brain. Don't let them do your thinking. Self-control, beloved, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When should I use it? At all times. Amen? So know this also. Here's a word of wisdom for you young people. Know this. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is of the Lord. Now we try to watch. We try to watch for deceivers. We try to guard the church. Yet, let's be honest, there are deceivers who don't come out of the closet till later. And I know you find someone who attends another church. Well, they attend a church. What church do they attend? What do they believe? Well, I don't know. They're a Christian. How do you know they're a Christian? They told me they were. Yeah, but what are they? I don't want to know what they advertise. I want to know what they are. Amen? I'm sorry to say, but I will say it for your benefit. There are also a lot of Christians who by the grace of God are saved, but who by their own immaturity and irreverence toward God are foolish. Don't marry one of them or there will be suffering. Letter A, fear the Lord and worship Him by demonstrating wisdom through the careful choosing of a wise spouse. Godliness trumps all. In this you will be blessed as your home is built up rather than torn down. Verse 2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises him. We know who fears the Lord, for they walk in uprightness. So when you're looking for a spouse, connecting this to the first verse, when you're looking for a spouse, do they walk uprightly? It's pretty simple. Amen? If they walk uprightly, they fear the Lord. If they don't, and they want to do things with you that are ungodly, they don't fear the Lord. They're not wise. The one who fears the Lord walks in uprightness. Examine yourself then to see if you are of the faith. Those who fear the Lord live lives that are characterized by godly obedience, manifested in a continuous display of righteous living. Oh, I know we make our mistakes, but when we make them, we cry out to God, we repent, we turn from Him, and we keep on going. Amen? Because day by day, we're living for the Lord. On the contrary, then, the one who does not fear the Lord, but of big-headed arrogance, is so self-absorbed and self-righteous that they despise the Lord. They live the deviant lives of godlessness. J. Adams writes, an upright lifestyle is impossible apart from the fear of the Lord. Amen. You're not going to live right unless you fear the Lord. And those who are upright will fear Him. How is that true? Well, to be upright, by biblical definition, to walk, to conduct one's life according to God's ways, which are found in the Bible. His will, in His word, is the standard by which one's ways are judged to be either upright or perverted. Perverted, literally crooked ways, are evidence of one's fundamental antipathy toward God. He despises them and therefore His ways. It is interesting that when you discover that one abhors God's way, you see that his life history is a record of twisted, crooked turns. Righteousness leads to simplicity, sin to unnecessary complexity, and I would say, and hardship. Letter B. Fear the Lord and worship Him by skillfully walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you fear the Lord? Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you live a life of righteous simplicity or wicked complexity. Verse 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. Oh, here we go, the tongue, the tongue. As James chapter 3 tells us, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. It is set among the members of our body as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. The tongue in the mouth of a fool is a cause for discipline and punishment, displaying his need for a severe reprimand. And so foolish are some that the more they're punished, the more they say, bringing upon themselves a worse sentence. The other night, my wife and I were watching, was it Friday night? What's the show? Shark Tank. You watch that show? Yeah, you heard about it. Shark Tank. And sometimes the people are presenting their business to these wealthy individuals. Well, they always do that. They're presenting their business to wealthy individuals to try to get them to invest in their business. And you see this all the time. They say too much. They start digging a hole, and the more they dig, the deeper they dig, and the further they get in the hole. And the other night, one of the sharks on the Shark Tank said, "Shut up!" See, the fool doesn't know when to shut up! As the fool opens his mouth, his need to be punished is evident. But the one who is wise by his words is preserved. Rather than bringing a rebuke upon himself, his words bring him favor. He says what is healing. He gives a soft answer and turns away wrath. He talks about the things that are pure. He says what is beneficial for the hearer. As God gives wisdom, the one who fears the Lord speaks wisdom, and for it he prospers. As we will study in a week or two, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If we will examine our words, we will find the content of our heart. And by this we will know if we are moving toward a life of hardship or a life of peace. Young person, what are the words of your mouth? Are they harsh? Are they uncaring? Let me tell you something. You are headed for a harsh life. Change now. Preserve yourself. So, beloved, here we go again. I'm going to say this several times throughout the Proverbs in different ways. We can ask that God would miraculously preserve us. Lord, preserve me. But here he has instructed us that we will be preserved if we do what he says. So the question isn't, will God preserve me, but will I accept the method he has given me by which he will preserve me? So sometimes I want to say, Lord, put me on the road. And he says, well, steer yourself over there. We're all the time asking God for things that he's already given us the means for. We just haven't appropriated them. Lord, give me more faith. That's a good prayer. Well, he's already given you everything you need for life and godliness through a true knowledge of him who saved you. Do you need more faith, or do you need to get in the book and find out what your faith is founded upon? Let her see. Fear the Lord and worship him by skillfully talking as one who is wise. In this you will be preserved, for by God's grace it will go well with you. Verse 4. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. In simple terms, work is messy. Work is hard. So if you want to prosper, get to work, and don't worry about getting dirty. It comes with the territory. It will be okay. You'll wash up. Or consider the option. If you won't work because work is too messy, then neither should you eat. This is the word of the Lord. Look, gathering in life takes effort. The farmer plows the field. He plants the corn. He waits, and the Lord gives the increase. and then he just leaves it there and makes a bunch of money. No, he's got to go out there and get it. He's got to get dirty. He's got to go work. He's got to bring in the increase. Now, this is interesting. God gave the increase, amen, but he's got to go get the increase. Why doesn't God just take it all off and just put it in his barn and can it for him and put it in the supermarket? Because God ordained that men would work. So here's God giving the increase, but you got to do something to go get the increase. By his grace, he gives it. By his grace, we have the ability to go get it. By his grace, we have the brains that we know that. So go get it. Yeah, you're going to get dirty. Oh, my. So, beloved, gathering in life takes effort. Doing nothing, it takes effort doing things that aren't fun. Many want the increase to simply come to them while they sit watching television or by taking a nap. But, beloved, God has so designed that he will bless you with the increase as you obey him. And he made man to work, as we've been learning on Tuesday evening, setting him in the garden to keep it. Isn't that what God did? Here, Adam, you're in the garden, keep it. That's before the fall. Keep it. Yes, if you keep the garden as God designed, you're going to get your hands dirty. But then you'll have food. Dirty hands won't kill you, but hunger will. In our younger days, as a part-time job, my dear wife and I and our precious children, and more them and the children than me, used to clean a church of about 45,000 square feet twice a week. When the children would complain that people were so messy, I would tell them to be thankful that people create a mess, for that mess keeps us working and eating. If they weren't messy, we wouldn't have a job here. One can say it is too messy to work, but if you want the increase of God, you're going to have to take on the mess of work. Letter D, just very practical wisdom, amen? Fear the Lord and worship him by skillfully working, never making the mess of work the excuse for not working, as the Proverbs will tell us. Don't say, there's a lion in the street. I can't do it. There's a lion in the street. This is going to kill me. It's not going to kill you. Besides that, if you die, you just go on to be with the Lord, and that's better. All right. And as you work, God will grant you a comparable increase. Verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness speaks lies. And so then which are you? Which am I? A faithful witness or a false witness? Examine yourself to see if you belong to Christ. The wisdom is so practical. You can trust the trustworthy at all time and the liar at no time. Verse 6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none. But knowledge is easy to him who has understanding. One who has a haughty attitude, who scorns and scoffs, might seek wisdom. Of course, they want to use it for foul means. But they might seek wisdom, and at the same time, they're sure to reject true wisdom. Ironside wrote, "The scorner may inquire, but he sets not his heart on the answer. The mocker is continually finding cause for objections and foolish quibbles in the word of God." They say, yeah, but, well, I see that, but, you've met these. They seek your counsel and then reject it. Yet everyone can see that they persist in their problems while they are certain they are right and justified. These seek the advice of many, going from one to the next until they hear what they want, despising the good they've heard. How many seek advice until they find a fool to tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear and do? Such seek wisdom, but never really find it. It might be placed in their hand, but they reject it. But the one who has understanding gets it. They get it. He quickly receives godly advice and lives in the blessing of it. The upright see the light and gladly walk in it, while the fool sees the light and complains because it's too bright. And that following in the light will harm them. They might get skin cancer. Letter E. Fear the Lord and worship him by quickly receiving the true knowledge of his word, living in agreement with his precepts. And verses 7 through 9. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. The maxim is true. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little ill influence corrupts thoroughly. If you make company of a fool, then you will not discern the words of knowledge, for you yourself will be a fool. How will one discern words of knowledge if they don't even discern enough to escape the presence of a fool? Be wise. Run from the fool or be a fool. Run for your life and run for the glory of God. Go to him. Leave the fool. The wise are prudent and they understand the way they are to go. They understand the way of righteousness. And we note, it is not merely that the prudent know the way, but they know the way to go with understanding. They understand it. They get it. They travel the path of life, the correct path, with understanding. They comprehend what God is doing. These are enlightened to the things and way of God. And therefore, they understand the way and the purpose of God. They comprehend that his ways are higher than their ways. You'll consider something, you'll think, this is what I ought to do. And you consider God, and you think, no, I need to do the opposite. And to the world, the opposite doesn't make any sense. Amen? But you do it, and what happens? The glory of God, the blessings of God come upon you. And besides that, you do that, and you're at peace with God. The glory of God, the blessing of God. If his ways are higher than ours, then we need the mind of God, don't we? And how are we going to gather the mind of God? Here, dear church, here he has revealed his mind to us. Why live in the dark depression of wonder and uncertainty that comes from a lack of faith and understanding of God when he opens before you the clarity of his person and mind? God says, you want to know me? Here you go. Read this and bathe it in prayer. You'll know me. Here, God gives us his word so that we may walk in the light. Be prudent and walk in the light even as he himself is in the light. And then what confounding folly is that for the fool? For as they walk without understanding, they are deceived in their own folly. And there darkness rules and reigns as they stumble about in sin. Yet they're sure they know which way they're going. In that then, they're confronted with their sin and they make light of sin. They mock it. They ignore the desperation of their situation. Here is folly to mock at sin. Here is the epitome of foolishness, failing to take one's sin seriously. By failing to fear God, fools fail to take the offense of their sin before God seriously. Haven't you heard? The wages of sin is death. Will you mock at sin? It is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Wake up, O sinner. Fool, come to a true understanding, for soon the wages of your sin will be upon you. Turn to Christ today. Believe upon him. Turn from your path of sin and follow and love Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then you will live. You live by giving your life away. Fools mock at sin, but the one who comes to Christ, they live a life of righteousness before Christ. Having an attitude of repentance, they hate sin and seek to carry out the goodwill of their Father, seeking not their own but his glory. Letter F, fear the Lord and worship him by leaving the presence of the fool. Be prudent and live deliberately in an understanding of who the Lord is, being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus, your Lord. Verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Dear one, No one save the Lord knows your inner man like you. And no one will give an account for your life but you alone. You may smile and you may fool others, not showing the bitterness of your own heart, but you know it and God knows it. On the other hand, you may sit in great joy and no one would know it. You're stoic. Consider your life then before God and come clean. You may fool men, but you will never fool God. Each one who is lost in their sin, hidden as their sin may be, will alone give an account before God. The man years ago, my brother, said, "Here is hell standing before God without a mediator." The one who is lost in their sin, though they've hidden it from others, will alone give an account before God. So I want to ask, what is in you? What sin might you be hiding? Won't you turn to the Lord, repenting of your sin? For then, by His grace, you will stand before the Almighty, in Him, in Christ, holy and blameless. God the Father will see the blood of Jesus Christ as applied to you, your sins forgiven, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your covering. And instead of saying, "What we all full well deserve, away from me, I never knew you," He will say, "Well done, my child, enter into my eternal joy." Choose today whom you will serve. Letter G, fear the Lord and worship Him by wisely and honestly examining and confessing your heart before Him. Verses 11 through 14. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. Why should we examine our heart before the Lord? Dear soul, because eternal life and eternal death lay in the balance. The house of the wicked will be destroyed. It may seem like the wicked man has everything going for him, that his life is established upon an unsinkable foundation. But hear the word of the Lord. His house, though, no matter how it appears, his house is about to crumble as the foundation is established on sin, and soon the judgment will sweep it away. But the tent of the upright, while the tent of the upright may appear to flap in the wind, yet it has the foundation established upon the sure and immovable rock of salvation, Christ Jesus. Those who live in the tent of the righteous will flourish in the Lord here and then, now and forever. Oh, how contrary that a solid house will fall and the tent will stand. Yes, there is a way which seems right to a man. It seems right to a man that he should go his own way, doing what is wise in his own eyes, building his life as he sees fit. After all, he's the master of his own ship, the fool. His end is destruction. Since I was a little boy, I had an appreciation for, I think the artist's name is Salman. Who years ago painted several religious pictures, and he's the one who painted the sailor at the helm with Jesus standing behind him pointing. You know the picture, the painting? I've always had a love for that. And so I was thinking, I want to get that for my office. I want to find one of those for my office at home. And I was looking on the net trying to find these, and that scene is entitled Jesus is my pilot. And I was reading as some people were commenting on it, and people were saying, "Jesus is my co-pilot." What a difference between Jesus being my pilot and being my co-pilot. Amen? The tent of the upright, the righteous, for them, Jesus is the pilot. He's saying, "Go here, do this." Amen? And I obey. There is a way that seems right to a man. A man thinks he's the master of his own ship, but he's a fool, and his end is destruction. He will be upon the rocks of ruin. The wicked may laugh, but who knows what pain they've hidden within? Don't be deceived. Fear the Lord. The wicked may seem to be joy-filled, but only because they're drunk. They're intoxicated with themselves. Soon their laughter will be turned to crying and their joy to sorrow. Oh, the one who in his heart turns from the Lord, he will be filled with his own ways. He will reap what he has sown and he will be sick of himself. Satisfaction will never be found, for he is filled up with his own wicked devices. But then thanks be to God, church, the good man who sought the Lord and followed him will see his reward and be satisfied. As the good man fears first the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God, so are the good things going to be added unto him. Those who go the way of the Lord, their cups are full and running over. Letter H. Fear the Lord and worship him by giving up on your own fallen desires and being satisfied in and with the Lord and the reward of his hand. Verse 15, the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. The fool is naive, and not only does he believe every lie and false thing that comes down the pike, but worse, being so easily deceived, he believes the deception of his own heart. Have you met people that lie to themselves and they believe their own lies? And you're stunned, and you try to tell, no, you're fooling yourself. You're not seeing this rightly. Oh, yes, I am. This person lies to himself and believes it. He tells himself that he fears God, that it's okay with him and the man upstairs, but there is no fear of God in him. Look at his life. He is sure he is right before God, though many have warned him. How deluding is self-deception. Though such a one look in the mirror of the word, they forget and even ignore what they look like. And when they see what they look like in the word of God, they say, well, that's not the word of God. It's been changed so many times. But by the grace of God, the prudent man considers his step. He will not step into deception, for the word is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. So, verse 16, a wise man then is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A wise man is cautious, prudent, and careful in what he does. He considers the word of God and the will of God before he does anything. What would the Lord have? When he sees that evil is before him, he turns away. As 1 Corinthians 6:18 commands, he flees immorality. As 1 Corinthians 10:14 exhorts, he flees idolatry. As 1 Timothy 6 teaches, this man flees envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, friction, and the love of money. Instead, he pursues righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness, fighting the good fight of faith. The fool, he is arrogant, careless, and gives himself to every sin of his own choosing. He does not understand that the way of the transgressor is hard, and after it being hard, it ends in ruin. Letter I, the wise man, in the fear of the Lord, intelligently lives a cautious life before the Lord, while the foolish man arrogantly, without a care, goes the way of death and destruction. Will you be wise and live, or foolish and die? Verse 17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. The fool is quick-tempered. Oh, have I played the fool? God help me. He carelessly throws caution to the wind and blurts out the first foul thing that comes to his mouth, causing indiscriminate injury, not realizing that he is his own worst casualty. That man who irrationally acts out of his evil is hated. He is hated by man, and you can be sure of this, he will be squarely judged by God. And so it is said, verse 18, the naive inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The naive, as they fail to hear God, will inherit the folly of their sin. And again, the just and sure wages of sin is death. But the prudent, in the God-granted wisdom of fearing God, will inherit a crown of life. Having been crowned with a true and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will gain everlasting life. Amen. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Letter J. The fool will inherit a fool's inheritance, eternal destruction. And that's the thing about the fool. We want to think, well, he's destroyed. No, it's eternal destruction. It's ongoing destruction. Hell is a place where the worm dies not. The worm of the conscience goes on and on and on. Eternal ruin. Horrid. I don't want to talk about it. But people need to know it. The fool will inherit a fool's inheritance, eternal destruction. But in the greatest contrast, by the grace of God, the wise will be crowned with a true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the glorification that follows, which is eternal life. So finally then, the question before us for each to ask themselves, do I fear the Lord? If you will fear Him, taking your sin and His holiness seriously, then turn to Him and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For He died and rose to save all who would believe. And in Him you will have the forgiveness of sin, and coming to have peace with God your Father, you will possess the promise of everlasting life. Be humbled by fear. Be lifted by friendship. Be wise and believe upon Jesus, for He is the Christ of God. And all the church said, Amen.